Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Alrighty, the Bible is the most accurate book in the world. It is the most criticized. It is the most discerned. It is the most pull apart kind of book, but it is factual. It is historical. It is true. The Bible has the Old Testament, which is before Jesus, and the New Testament, which is after Jesus. Today, we're going to read from the Old Testament and see what a typology is and what a prophecy is. So let's start. Wisdom, chapter 2, 12 through 22, and really listen. This is before Jesus. They are basically saying that when the Messiah comes, we're not going to like him. He's going to tell us to do things that we don't really want to do because we like our ways and our teachings and trainings. The wicked said among themselves, thinking not aright, let us beset the just one, because he is obnoxious to us. He sets himself against our doings, reproaches us for transgressions of the law, and charges us with violations of our training. He professes to have knowledge of God and styles himself a child of the Lord. To us he is the censure of our thoughts. Merely to see him is a hardship for us, because his life is not like that of others, and different are his ways. He judges us debased. He holds us aloof from our paths, as from things impure. He calls blessed the destiny of the just, and boasts that God is his father. Let us see whether his words are true. Let us find out what will happen to him. For if the just one be the Son of God, he will defend him and deliver him from the hands of his foes. With revilement and torture, let us put him to the test, that we may have proof of his goodness and gentleness, and try his patience. Let us condemn him to a shameful death, for according to his own words, God will take care of him. These were their thoughts, but they erred, for their wickedness blinded them, and they knew not the hidden counsels of God. Neither did they count on a recompense of holiness, nor discern the innocent soul's reward. That is packed. Packed, packed, packed. It's prophesying, and it's a typology. So typology is saying that what was written in the Old Testament is fulfilled in the New Testament through Jesus Christ. If you read this, you can see that they are talking about Jesus. And if you can read all of the New Testament books, you can see that the Jews were not happy, especially the high priests and the Pharisees. They didn't want anyone coming in and messing up their life. They didn't want to lose power and be revered by their followers. So yeah, they were against him, and they were going to condemn him to a shameful death. Death on a cross, crucifying. You know, they had a little cloth around his private parts, but I believe back then they were hung naked to be fully shamed. That's what I understand. I can't prove that, but it makes sense. It's supposed to be a humiliating and very painful death. And if you remember, Jesus fulfills this prophecy, and the evil people don't quite know, or the human mind would think, well, God's going to save him from this. Why would God want him to suffer and die? If you remember Peter was like, oh, you know, we're never going to have this happen. You know, forsake the Lord for this. He's like, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan, Jesus says to Peter, because you don't know what God's plan is here. You're thinking like a human being, like all of these people here are thinking, well, we'll do all this. And if he really is God, he'll be brought down off the cross. Now let's fast forward to the New Testament. We hear that people were taunting Jesus on the cross. Well, if you're the God, come down and show us, you know, do this big miracle. Why wouldn't the Lord save you? Oh, sorry, I have my computer on here because I was reading from it. I did not know that I had the sound on. So what is the purpose of Jesus going through all of this? It's basically in these two verses. This is in the responsorial Psalm 34, 21 and 23. The Lord redeems the lives of his servants. No one incurs guilt who takes refuge in him. He died so that we, his servants, the one who have come to believe in him. And I'll tell you, I was definitely blinded by my wickedness. I was one of the people that looked at Jesus and was like, you want me to do what? Following you is so boring. I would rather party and do whatever I want, whenever I want, at the whim of my pleasures. I'm not going to guard my senses. I'm going to take everything and pretty much go way over the top with all of the things of the world. The Lord redeems the lives of his servants. No one incurs guilt who takes refuge in him. This is why he died, so that we could come to him, so that we could cover ourselves in his precious blood, every single drop, to protect us from sinning again, but also to wash us clean of the sins that we have already committed. And again, I want to focus on the word guilt. No one incurs guilt who takes refuge in him. So if you are out there still feeling guilty for something that you confessed, you have got to let that go. Because every beating, every wound, every drop of blood that Jesus poured out from all five of his wounds, the two on his feet, the two on his hands, and the lance that pierced his side, which water and blood flowed out, that is his mercy. If you look at the divine mercy image, that's what that red and white beam, I guess, coming out of his side is. I did this for you. Come to me. Take refuge in my blood, in my wounds, and wipe away that guilt, because you should not have any more guilt if you have come to me with a repentant heart in the sacrament of reconciliation. I heal you. So if you still are harboring guilt in your heart for things that you have done and have confessed, maybe some of you have confessed it over and over again, yet haven't even committed that sin again, that is an insult to God. I did this in the beginning of my walk because I couldn't believe that all I had to do was go into that confessional and tell that priest, who, by the way, is in persona Christi. Jesus gave the power of forgiving sins in the Bible when he said, those sins you forgive are forgiven, those sins you retain are retained. The priesthood was established on Holy Thursday when they were in the upper room having the Last Supper. And that was also when his Eucharist, his body, blood, soul, and divinity was also instituted in the Mass. Do this in remembrance of me, not just create a symbol and see what you can put on out there and, you know, kind of remember me, but don't. No, my blood, my body is in this host, this Eucharist. Only after the ordained hands of the priest consecrate it. It's called transubstantiation. And there, that blood and wine is made into the body and blood of Jesus. And don't worry if you don't have the wine, meaning the blood, once it's consecrated. Both species are in both. So if you receive the Eucharist, the body, the blood is also in there. And even the littlest amount, even a speck or a dust from that Holy Communion wafer, the body and blood of Jesus, I'm not doing it justice here, is enough to come into us, to protect us, to guide us and lead us, and to purify us. So let's go back to guilt. I kept going back and going back with my adulterous affairs because I couldn't believe I've busted up my marriage. I've hurt my husband at the time, you know, so badly. Lord, you can't possibly forgive me. Now he gets insulted by that. Like, what do you mean? I'm God. I'm the merciful God. And it's just like if you forgive a friend and they keep coming to you over and over and over again. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. You know, and then you're like, it's okay. It's okay. Next day, it's, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. It's okay. It's okay. Next day, oh, I'm so sorry. After a while, you're going to be like, dude, enough. It's okay. That's what God is like. Of course, he's not. He's not really like the words that I'm saying, but you get it, right? He wants you to take refuge in him because his whole death was for you, to cleanse you. And then we just walk with him and try to stay on the path, pray to him every day, glorify him. You know, we should be coming out of confession feeling clean and anew. And if we don't, then we need to pray to God to help change our heart so that we understand that we are forgiven. And now it's a brand new day. All over the Bible, you hear that we are new in Christ. We can have a good, contrite, and holy spirit. We can renew our minds. So then we think about ourselves, we think about God, we think about the world in a completely different way. I'm going to read this one more time. The Lord redeems the lives of his servants. No one incurs guilt who takes refuge in him. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you gave us all your begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who died and took on all of our sins, past, present, and future. If we turn to him, if we come to him in the beautiful sacrament of the church that Jesus gave us and forgive, go to him asking for his forgiveness with a contrite heart. If we are truly sorry for what we do, Lord, please give us the consolation of peace and no guilt, that we let it go and we know that we are forgiven. Lord, we take a moment to pray for all of the people that are in purgatory, specifically by name right now. Hail Mary, full of grace, The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for me, a sinner, now and at the hour of my death. Amen. Jesus, in your holy, merciful, and forgiving name we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember, repentance is what we need to do once we also come out of that confessional. We are given some things to pray. Maybe it's a Our Father, Hail Mary. Maybe it's an action. But that is so necessary that we complete that penance that the priest gives us so that we can turn again toward God and we prove that we have a repentant heart. Now let that guilt go. Don't keep thinking about those sins that you have confessed because God's not happy with that. He wants you to have peace. He wants you to have joy. And he wants you to know that you are loved and forgiven. And he says it in his word. The Lord redeems the lives of his servants. No one incurs guilt who takes refuge in him. So picture yourself pouring yourself into his wounds, soaking yourself in his blood. I like to picture myself just seeing Jesus, and I kind of always look at my screensaver, which is Jim Caviezel hanging on the cross all bloody from the Passion of the Christ, and going up there and just hugging him and smearing his blood all over me and going into his wounds. I know it kind of sounds like gross, but it's not when you know how much blood he shed for us, that it is precious and cleansing. And how the blood and water came out of his side, and that is his mercy. Keep looking at the divine mercy image. We talked about that when Alvaro and I were talking about purgatory. Let's remember the mercy of Jesus and to devote ourselves to him. All right, everyone, I love you all. I have to say that I will come on YouTube. I had so many things that I needed to do, and I still haven't done them all, but I'm sorry that I've been a little absent for a couple of days, but real life got to me. I had to do certain things, so I am done with my thank you cards, and I pray that I am almost done with all of the stuff for my dad, and I can just turn and focus on God. We're also going to talk about the rosary and the importance of praying it soon. And not just praying it, but truly meditating on it so that it can be vocal prayer and mental prayer. And we'll talk about how we do that and how important it is, not just for us, but for the reparation of all the sinners, to all of the kids and relatives and family members who are not converted. If you are not praying the rosary, you do not have the weapon in your hands to really have this conversion happen. And I'll explain more later. All right, everyone. I go again. I love you all. I'm not kidding. Thank you for your prayers. They are totally sustaining me and keeping me going. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Find something more with God. Forgiveness and no guilt. And have a blessed and inspired day.